This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is Prime Time here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Jeff Schwartz here watching 14-0 Cal, 11-22 in the second quarter. Are we feeling good? I feel like you're cooking with grease over there, buddy.
Well, the Cal's got the ball in the red zone, 2nd and 2, I think, now. So I think we're pretty close to getting this one, 21-0. And I feel pretty good about where I'm at if we can get Cal in the end zone here. JKS has been every bit of what we said he can be in this game. Mm-hmm. So a good start for me. It's bowl season, though. Weird things can happen, certainly. But Cal feels like certainly the right side early on.
Now joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, your friend and mine. You find his work over at VSiN.com every single day. Of course, Coast to Coast Hoops podcast as well. At GUnit81 on the Twitter machine, he is Greg Peterson. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. And Matt, I am doing well, but I don't think I'm doing as well as your ugly sweater game tonight. I'm loving it.
Look at this. Look at that thing, right? Look at it.
Yes.
It's even got the little, yeah, see that? Yeah, look at that. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. You know, I wear it once a year. You know, it's like you have the Christmas stuff. You crank it out. I have shoes. See, like I have. I can't know if I'm up on air. There we go.
See? There we go.
See, so like, I wear those twice a year. You know, I wear the shoes twice a year. I wear them on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and that's it. So I mean, you have
there you
the
go. Perfect.
You got the Christmas outfits. You know, and I have the little little Christmas outfit. Okay, so we're gonna talk to you about any and all sports here, but I do want to know, how is college basketball going for you right now? Has there been any team that has been a pleasant surprise to you, or any team that has been kind of a disappointment so far to you?
Overall, I've had a solid year. It wasn't necessarily the world's greatest day for me on Tuesday, but I mean, you're always going to have those. Sometimes the totals just don't break your way. And for me, one of the biggest surprises has been Seton Hall. Recognize that they did lose that game to Villanova, but this team was picked pretty much dead last in the Big East. They were a team that many people thought were dead to rights. A lot of people were wondering what they were bringing in by the transfer portal. And I'll raise my hand. I was one of those people that had really low expectations for Seton Hall this year. But here they are sitting here with two losses. They're a team that is probably on the fringe of being ranked with that loss. Maybe that drops them out a little bit. But they've been a team that I've been able to make quite a bit of money on this year. And then you have to go to Nebraska. An undefeated team in the Big Ten that went on the road about a week and a half ago. They knocked off Illinois. This team has not been able to cover more of like those 30, 31 point spreads, what have you. But you get them in a spread that is single digits. You get them as an underdog, and they have been incredibly good. Rink Mass has been very, very versatile for this team. I really like the way that things are developing for them. So two big surprises for me to begin the season have been Nebraska and Seton Hall.
Have you made any future wagers in the last couple of weeks on some of the information that you have for either conference champion, overall champion of the sport? Have you done any of those recently?
I have personally not. I'm much more of a game-to-game guy. If I were to look at the futures, I would go with the regular season conference champions, mainly because when you place a bet on the futures in terms of the NCAA tournament, who knows what sort of a draw you're going to get. Like in any other sport, you're able to narrow down your possible opponents much easier than in the NCAA tournament. We've got 365 college basketball teams. It's a big giant crapshoot. And even with the dominance of teams like Michigan, Iowa State, I do feel like every team in college basketball has a bad matchup. You land on that, that's a little bit rough. That said, I do take a look at right now what we're getting in terms of some of these regular season conference champions. And I do think that one has very much emerged in the power conferences. That'd be UConn. Like we thought it was going to be UConn and St. John's to start with this season. And you're going to be laying some juice if you're wanting UConn to be able to win the Big East. But I think that they have proven that head and shoulders, they are the best team in that conference. And we were just talking about Seton Hall being one of the big surprises or a little bit earlier. You want to talk about some big disappointments. I know that they're starting to figure it out, but Creighton has been a disappointment this year. Marquette, my goodness, someone tells Shaka Smart that it's not a crime in 2025. Soon to be 2026 to utilize the transfer portal. That has not been great. You saw the likes of DePaul, Georgetown in that conference. So if I were looking at a team right now that is in a power conference to be able to win their conference, I think UConn is a very solid look.
It is another touchdown, and Jeff Schwartz is in in the driver's seat here. 21-0 Cal over Hawaii. Hawaii just no showing here in this game. Twitter's very mad, by the way. Twitter's very mad that Hawaii did not show up, as we talked about Twitter. It's talking about them getting a decent amount of love here in this one. 21-0 at the 9:38 mark of the second quarter. Greg, as we sit right now, Cameron Boozer is your favorite in the Wooden Award market, but not a huge favorite, minus 160. Is there any other player that you have been kind of enamored by here that maybe if somebody wants to swoop in and just put something in their account that maybe it would be fun to sweat for the rest of the year?
And Cameron Boozer is very much a rightful favorite. I just can't get behind laying minus 160 on an award where we haven't even started ACC play yet. There's a lot of things that can happen. And the one guy that I think has a little bit of value on the board right now, that'd be Joshua Jefferson of Iowa State. A lot of people thought that this was going to be Tamon Lipsby's team, but Jefferson has proven to be one of the most versatile players in all of college basketball. He's given out like 5 assists per game. He's pulling in their 8 rebounds per contest. He is a leading scorer of an Iowa State team that still has yet to lose. And I mean, it's neck and neck as to whether or not you think Arizona or Iowa State should be that team to beat in the Big 12. Obviously, you still have Houston out there as well. But if they go through that gauntlet, they win the regular season in the Big East or in the Big 12, I think that there's a really good argument to be made for Joshua Jefferson. So him at 30-1, I think is intriguing. And if you're looking to buy low on Braden Smith, because now he's north of 10-1 in a lot of spots, Purdue is still a very rock solid team. They lose that game to Iowa State, but I ain't past that. They've challenged themselves. They knocked off Alabama earlier in the season. He's a guy that has been around the block. So if they're looking to give this award to a little bit more of a veteran of the game, that'd be a good look as well. And I still think that there should be high aspirations for Purdue, even with being in the same conference as Michigan. So those are the two guys I'd be looking at in terms of the Wooden Award.
Don't tease me with a good time, buddy. 30-1. You're going to get me. I like a sweat. Give me a 30-1 sweat. Don't tease me with a good time. I'm in. Joshua Jefferson. It is. I'm tailing you on that thing.
I love it. And I mean, for this Iowa State team, they're not right now, not the number one team in all of college basketball, but I mean, the way that they throttled Purdue, they should have probably been in the final out here in lovely Las Vegas for the players era, but they've got the most strange setup in a tournament ever. So they were robbed of a chance of being able to play Michigan, but you knock off the likes of St. John's, Mississippi State and company on a neutral court. I'm really liking this team. And if they win the Big 12, that's going to bode very well for that Jefferson ticket.
Let's turn our attention to the NFL tomorrow. Which of the big favorites loses? I mean, I don't think it's going to be chalk. I don't think they're all going to cover. Which one of us is going to be? Are the Cowboys going down, the Lions, or the Broncos?
Now, I will say I'm not taking the money line on either of these three teams. You can take the money line if you want. I am not going to do so. That said, I'm going to take the points with a few of these underdogs, and I just feel like Minnesota is going to be able to give you a good effort, because with Minnesota, they're looking to wreck the Lions season. They're looking to play a little bit of spoiler. Now, Bosmer as a quarterback, well, the first start they made, that was not great to say the least, but I think that he has something to prove. He's a Minnesota guy playing in his home state on Christmas, and with the Detroit Lions, it's just been up and down in terms of that defense all season long. Now, you've got three terrible quarterback matchups, and if you're looking for an underdog, you have to choose between the Minnesota Vikings, Josh Johnson, who, if you want to have a fun Wikipedia search, just look at Josh Johnson and his resume. He's been on like 30 different teams in the Alliance of American Football League, what have you. And then you look at the Chiefs, and that's just not a good situation. So if I were looking at any of these three, I do feel like the Vikings, at the very least, give you a little bit of hope, where I really can't make the case for either the Commanders or the Chiefs.
40-1 Joshua Johnson in my account. I found a 40-1 out there, Greg. There we go. There it is. There we go. Now have a sweat. I have a college basketball sweat now. I had 0 entering today, and I'm leaving with a college basketball sweat. That's all I can ask of you. You know, you come on here, yes, you give me a gift here on Christmas Eve. I do appreciate that. All right, we have a couple of marquee matchups. I first start off with Houston Texans at the Chargers. Of course, we know both of these teams still vying for all kinds of everything over there. It's about 1.5, 2 points in favor of the Chargers. What say you?
And with this one, I do look at the Chargers, because we've been seeing the way that Justin Herbert has been playing through the injury. He's still been very rock solid, and you just know that the defense is going to be up, get up for both of these teams. If I'm looking at anything, I know that the total is really low. I'm seeing it mostly at a 39.5. I would be looking at the under, as I think that this is a first to 21 style game wins. And for the Texans, it's just been very inconsistent for them on offense this season. With the Chargers, you know that with Harbaugh, this team is good to be prepared defensively. You know that these guys are going to be focused. And I recognize that maybe the home field advantage isn't necessarily the world's greatest for the Chargers, but I do feel like they just find a way to be able to pound the ball. They find a way to be able to find a few holes in that Texans defense and a little bit of a slog of a game to be able to get it done. So anything below a 3, I'd be willing to lay with the Chargers. Right now, mostly seeing that at a 2, and I'm in on that under.
I'm very fascinated by Niners Bears. Important game for both teams, obviously, but the rest disparity is pretty big for a Week 17 game. Niners played Monday night on the road. The Bears played Saturday. They get almost a 2 full days of preparation here. Any thoughts on Bears Niners?
Yep, and you do fear a little bit of a letdown spot for the Bears because they have that massive win over their rivals where you have a walk-off touchdown, but I'm going to take the 3 here. I don't know if I could quite get there on the money line, but for the Chicago Bears, it does feel like the defense is starting to give you a little bit more of something because this offense has been great all season long. Like, I mean, for year number 2 of everything that you've got going over there with Caleb Williams, things have really been able to develop for he and that offense. It's just a question of whether or not the Bears have been able to shut teams down. They've been able to do a little bit of a better job. That total of 52.5, I think, is a little bit high. And you bring up such a great point with the lack of rest that you've got for the 49ers, even though it was a highly emotional win for the Bears over the weekend. They did play on Saturday. So with the Chicago Bears, even though they're going to have to deal with the travel and they're going to have to deal with the rigors of going to California, I do like the 3 with them.
All right, Greg, we have 10 seconds. Who's the leading scorer for UTSA?
Meep the Roadrunners. That would be Jameer Simpson.
Just can't get one past old Greg Peterson. No, guys, you can go get his article every single day over at VSiN.com. And, of course, check him out over on Twitter as well. Greg, appreciate it, and happy holidays, buddy.
Thank you.
Happy holidays to you guys. Thank you.
I didn't even look to see if he was right. I just assumed he was. There we go. We'll be back here on Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is Primetime here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Jeff Schwartz here with you on Christmas Eve. Appreciate you guys listening in, and happy holidays to you and yours out there. 21-0 Cal over Hawaii, and I guess something happened. I'm getting wow catch of the year. Could that be the catch of the year? So I guess there was a very good catch in this game that I just missed.
There was. 4th and 1 again for Hawaii, though. Keep having 4th down. This one's going to be reviewed. I think he got a 1st down. I'm curious if they review this and give this a 1st down here. But this will be a big score for the over, right? You get the ball in the red zone here and get a chance to get a touchdown and go to have 28 points. And obviously, Cal will have a chance to get the ball back here and get some points as well.
When you retired, did you take up golf? What did you take up to, like, fire your competitive juices?
Gambling, I guess.
I like that. No, it's the truth. I mean, it's definitely the truth. It's kind of like that's really and truly how I got into poker, like back in college. It was like, I couldn't cut it as a collegiate athlete, and so next thing you know, I'm playing poker because you can get, like, it's like still competition, right?
Yeah, I imagine that's what it is. Like, I want to win money, but I also want to be correct and know my take on a game. Yeah.
Yeah, it's super interesting. The only reason I ask that is, like, it seems like for whatever reason, all of y'all are just, like, that are gifted with athletics, just, like, go over and start playing golf and you just instantly are good at it. And it's so annoying.
My brother like, is really good, but he also plays. I don't care enough. Like, I like to play, but I just don't have time in my day to play 6 hours of golf. I'm like, I just don't have that much time right now.
No, so I fully understand.
Maybe one day.
Yeah. It is definitely a time commitment. There's no doubt about that. Okay. So we talked about the early game. Let's get to the second game here. Detroit Lions are on the road at the Minnesota Vikings. 7.5 is the spread in favor of the Lions. 43.5 is the total out there currently. As we said, the Lions are hanging on by a thread. They have to win out, and then the Packers have to lose out in order for them to get in the playoffs. It is currently, according to theathletic.com, a 16% chance of that happening for Detroit to get into the playoffs. And so they will head into Minnesota with at least a slim chance of making the playoffs going up against Max Brosmer. But as Jeff has mentioned a couple of different times here on the program, the by far the best defense is going to be the Vikings defense. And I guess you could argue that the best unit on the field could be a toss-up between the Detroit offense or the Viking defense. But no matter what it is, they're going to blitz. They're going to blitz a ton. We know what Flores does. He's going to like try to light up Jared Goff and go after him time and time and time and time again. And maybe they make it to where Brosmer doesn't have to do all that much, Jeff.
That's certainly possible. Look, I just think that this year in the NFL, it's been a odd year for analytics and wins and losses. And I'm not saying that, you know, that they're wrong, but like the Lions right now are third in DVOA. They're not the third best team in the NFL. Now, this doesn't mean DVOA doesn't mean you're the third best in the NFL, but correct. Number one is Rams, number two is Seattle. Okay. We'd buy that. Now the Colts are four, and that's a lot of what happens during the season, in my opinion. But the Lions defense is ranked 11th. I guess 27 points to the Giants, 31 to the Packers, 30 to the Cowboys, 41 to the Rams, 29 to Pittsburgh. That's the last five games. So I don't think their defense is very good. Their offense, as we talked about, is fine in spurts. Like the Lions just, their offensive line isn't as good anymore. It's harder to run the football. They do get a lot of explosives though, right? Jahmyr Gibbs is incredible. Any sort of crease, he has gone to the house. But with less protection on Goff, Goff just isn't as good at times. I think the offense does suffer a little bit from Ben Johnson not being there anymore, right? It's just not as good as last season, not as consistent, I would say, as last season. And the Vikings defense, I think, will find a way to get enough point. Now, the flip side is, can the Vikings, you know, muster enough offensively? I think they can. Brosmer obviously has to play better, but he's going to play a little bit more. So we hope that maybe that plays a role in him playing better, is just not having to spot start. So I think the Vikings would be the side here, and I think they could even win this game.
So since week 10, if you kind of want to go to that as maybe you're kind of like the midway point of the season, you know, we get a little bit past the midway point there in week number 10, the Lions defense is 26th EPA allowed in the NFL. Yeah. Like only the Giants, Jets, Cardinals, Cowboys and Commanders are worse than them. All the defenses that we've talked about how terrible they are, like on this show already, are the only defenses that are worse than the Lions defense from an EPA perspective.
So that's kind of my point on them. Like, I just don't like that their defense hasn't played well. And that's why I think that this is the upset. If we're going to have an upset, it's going to be this one. It ain't going to be the night game. I'll promise you that. It'll be this game. This game will be the upset inside. So weather's not a problem. The Vikings, I would imagine that the crowd is into it. Like, I can't imagine the crowd in Washington is going to be half Dallas fans or more. It's going to be a very pro-Dallas crowd. I don't expect this to be a very pro-Detroit crowd. So I rolled the Vikings here. If we're picking upset, it would be them. I think they covered this game, though.
Jefferson's receiving prop is at a market low of 61.5 yards. And obviously, this is not priced for, you know, a top five receiver in the NFL. This is kind of like priced for a guy that's going with Max Brosmer at quarterback. However, as you mentioned, this isn't. He's got at least a little bit of playing experience under his belt now. And as we just mentioned, this defense has been pretty bad here since the midway point of the season. Is there any interest at all to think that he could connect with Jefferson a few times? I mean, 61.5 is obviously way, way off market for what we normally get with Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, look, the Lions secondary, right? The injuries they have really affected them this year. And so if you can just say, hey, man, let's connect on 3, 4, 5 passes, you could get that over in a heartbeat. If you get a couple of those connect and get an ability to run, you know, run after the catch. So I think that's certainly playable. Absolutely.
I think it's kind of one of those two-way bets that I really enjoy, which is, okay, Lions defense has been bad. So if the Vikings play well, it is probably because Justin Jefferson is having a good day. And then on the flip is if they start getting destroyed, well, then they have to throw every single down. And then we might just get soft coverage. And then you just get like all the garbage yards too. So it's kind of like there's almost two different handicaps in the way that something like this could get home. When you're talking about 62 yards with Justin Jefferson. I mean, that could be three catches for him.
Yeah. Oh, well, certainly doable. Yeah. Again, you have to have faith that Brosmer is going to be better. Now, he was 7 of 9 last weekend when he got into the game. Obviously much better than against Seattle when he threw, I think it was 4 interceptions. And you're not playing Seattle's defense. You're playing the Lions defense, mm-hmm. right? So again, 4 weeks to prepare, a little bit of more reps under your belt. You're not playing as intimidating of a defense as you played in your first start. So, you know, it's going to be better, but he's going to have to hit a couple of these shots during the game to get them to score enough mm-hmm. points to keep up with the Lions, right? If the Lions do play better on offense, I think they're going to play in this game. We're kind of screwed.
Guys, ProfitX is a prediction market out there that futures pricing you can find on the CFP and Super Bowl odds as well. Huge holiday slate shaping up as well. As you know, we've been talking about this, so it's a perfect time to get in, take advantage of ProfitX 20% purchase match as well. So download ProfitX today and experience the future of winning. Use the promo code VSIN to get started. Promo code VSIN, 20% match, up to $100 in bonus cash over at ProfitX. Go and download now. Yeah, it is. It's one of those things where it's we laugh about it, but I mean, you know 100% exactly what the Vikings defense is going to do. Like Flores blitzes over 50% of the time. He every single year has the highest blitz rate in the NFL. He does not shy away from that at all. Jared Goff, the offensive line is shaky, I guess, at best. And Jared Goff obviously doesn't have a ton of mobility. I think that there could at least be some interesting plays in this thing that maybe keeps this game to where we're not just completely tuned out, right? Like I think there's a world that exists where even if this does somehow at some point get out of hand, like we're at least entertained for 3 quarters in this thing.
I hope so. I hope that's the case. Right, we're going to be watching this game. I think we're on. Me and you.
Yes.
Are we on tomorrow during this
yes,
game?
Yes, we are.
So I hope it's good for our sake. I guess I could watch NBA instead, right? I mean,
yeah.
We'll get the end of the Spurs-Thunder game going at that time. So, you know, we could possibly do that if this game isn't good. But, I mean, look, the NFL is king, man. I know the quarterbacks are out. I know it doesn't look as good as we think it's going to be, but people are still going to watch, still going to rate well, still going to bet on it. Like, all those things are still going to be true, even though it's not the best of teams playing this game because of quarterback situations.
Yeah, So maybe there's some defensive props even to look at in this one. I'll dig into that a little bit further, and we'll talk about it. We have a little bit of time before this game kicks off on air tomorrow, and I'll dig into some defensive props. Maybe there's some fun ones in there for, you know, sack, 2 sacks, 3 sack, whatever it might be, or something like that from the Viking side of things. So, well, yeah, let's try and have some fun whenever we do that. We gave you the bets that we lost a little bit earlier. Okay, now it's time to do a little backslap, and here's the ones that we have gotten home so far.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, little bit of fight out of Hawaii. Into the end zone, 21-7 here. Now with a minute 59 left in the second quarter. Remember, there was a lot of people betting the under in this thing. The total had fallen 3 or 4 points, but people here at this network thought it'd be an over-type game, and so far so good, as we're on pace, obviously, to eclipse the 51. And who knows? Maybe we'll get something else here before half.
Yeah, Cal's a 3rd and 8, timeout now. They just ran the ball after. It was kind of surprising to see them run the ball here. But 3rd and 8 now. This will be a big conversion because Hawaii will have an opportunity to get the ball back here and score again before the half. So we'll see what happens. Big 3rd down here.
21-7, again, this thing went off as Cal is about a 1.5 dog, so they are still comfortably covering right now. We will let you know and keep you updated. So, talking about the bets that didn't get home for us, these are some that we're hoping for that are very, very close to getting home. And for me, there's none bigger than this one. If you got the VSiN NFL betting guide at the beginning of the season, I already told you about the one that lost. Sorry if you tailed that one, but hopefully you tailed this one. Because we got Matthew Stafford at 50-1 for MVP in the account. And so hopefully, again, he is your odds-on favorite right now to get this ticket cashed. And I would imagine would need a pretty big collapse here over the last couple of weeks. I mean, it's certainly not out of the range of possibilities for him to lose this, but he is minus 360. Drake May is 3-1. Everybody else is pretty much out of the equation at this point. So, Jeff, I feel pretty confident in it. Again, I know stranger things have happened, and certainly maybe Drake May just goes absolutely nuclear the last 2 weeks of the year and sways all the voters' opinions. But I kind of also think that I have a little bit of lifetime achievement award going in my favor here, which is, hey, Matthew Stafford's never won this thing. He's playing awesome. The team is awesome. Drake May's second year in the league. Maybe he wins two or three of these things before it's all said and done. We're still humans, right? So I think that I kind of have at least a little bit of sentiment behind me as well here.
Lifetime Achievement Award is certainly possible for this, right? And like, again, you think about, is Drake May going to win the award? Like, you really giving it to Drake May? They have two wins against winning teams so far this season. So I'm not saying that's the reason why he can't win the award, but it does feel like Stafford, they could play the Falcons. He's probably going to play well this weekend at home, and he played great. He had 450 yards against Seattle the other night. So he's the rightful favorite in this one. My best wager, Hawaii just blocked a punt, by the way. See, this is why bowl games, man, never easy. Never easy. I have Carson Schlesinger, the Browns rookie linebacker.
Oh, nice.
At 40-1 to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. I gave this out this year. I loved it, liked it a lot. He is currently minus 800 to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. He has a bazillion tackles. I mean, look, the Browns are going to end up with the Defensive Rookie of the Year and the Defensive Player of the Year and have three wins this season, which is really remarkable to have two award winners. But, I mean, right now he's got 147 tackles this season, 11 TFLs, 2.5 sacks. Schlesinger is incredible, and this feels like it's going to happen for me, and I'll be very happy.
You know, everyone likes to, when you talk about futures from a long time ago, everyone's like, oh, yeah, where is that? This also was in the VSiN betting guide, so go in there and take a look. Broncos, AFC West champions, that was also in there for me. It looks, I'm really, you know, thinking they get this one home, but, I mean, stranger things have happened. But regardless, it was kind of a play against the aging Chiefs, in my opinion. I did not expect the Chargers to be in the mix for this, so that's kind of the fly in the ointment here with all of that. But certainly this Broncos team with that defense, with Bo Nix taking at least a little bit of a step forward here, has proven to be one of the better teams in the NFL. And it, honestly, kind of shocking to me. I thought maybe they would win the West. I didn't think they'd be one of the better teams in the NFL, but you know, here we are. I mean, this is week 17. The sample size is here, Jeff. I mean, like, we can't really like doubt what we've seen with our eyes anymore. Yeah. I mean, the sample size is here.
Well, just like my next wager, you can have an opportunity to make money, right? Because you can week 18 figure this out and find a way to make money. I have the Panthers to win the NFC South. I looked at what we do every year, like worst to first or like bottom feeder to first. We always look at this, right? And the Panthers to me stuck out as someone that really improved the end of last season with Bryce Young. And they've had two modes, really terrible, right? Or really good. Like those are there's no in between. And they just have to beat Tampa Bay again in week 18 to get this to happen. I could play Tampa Bay money line. I think Hawaii's quarterback tripped over a wire on the track that is beyond the sideline and just hurt himself very badly. Well, he's back up. It's twice he's hurt himself. It's twice the staff has been called over to take a peek at him, and he's back. He's back. He looked like he couldn't walk anymore.
The interesting thing about this bet is kind of like you ended up kind of this on the same thing that I did, which is just better than mine, which was, it seemed like the South could have been any of the teams. Like, I mean, you know, I obviously thought the Saints were going to be terrible, but if we were sitting here and we're like, oh, guess what? Tyler Shuck's actually great, and the Saints played well, and Alvin Kamara, you know, whatever, and Olave, it wouldn't have shocked me. So you ended up on the Panthers. That's a really, really good ticket. By the way, Bryce Young closed out the year playing really well last year, and he's had his moments this year as well. I don't know if he's ever going to be top 12 in the league, but I think he could be league. I mean, I I think he's a league average quarterback, maybe a little above.
League the average. Best you're gonna get is probably like upper average, 12, 10, somewhere around there probably.
So this one is more me praying to get this one home. There's still work to do here on this one, as Jaxon Smith-Njigba is still the betting favorite in the market. But we were on this very program 3 weeks ago, laying the case out for Puka Nacua, kind of laying and drawing it out how this could all play out, which was, hey, listen, there's some games that Seattle's going to be huge favorites. They're not going to need to throw the ball a million times to JSN and the Rams and Puka Nacua. Yeah, it goes on. Anyway, that was when he was out at 30-1. He is now plus 165. So we've got this into the account. Hopefully, again, over the last 2 weeks, we can get some big performances. It certainly works in my favor that Devontae Adams is going to be out again this week, and so that helps out with this Puka Nacua Offensive Player of the Year. Look, it's still JSN, and he's still the rightful favorite. He's got a little bit better statistics. Remember, Puka missed a game, so the counting stats are going to be in JSN's favor here. But regardless, a good ticket to have in the account. Yeah. And like you said, I mean, maybe come week 18, it's just, you know, make sure that I monetize the thing.
Yeah. Look, he's still got a chance. You know, the way he plays the Rams offense, you never know. Again, injuries play a role in some of these as well. So you never know. My next one is I took Colts no playoffs after they beat the Falcons pretty close about 6 weeks ago. You know, there was a little bit of, chinking the armor against Pittsburgh, beat the Falcons again. The Falcons should have won, which sums up any Falcons season for the last 10 years. And their schedule just got much tougher. It was Chiefs, Texans, Jaguars, and I got it at about 3-1 nearly. I think it's like, plus 275, 270 range, and I feel pretty good about it. I should be able to cash that one. I didn't think they'd be in Phillip Rivers would be playing now. But I thought with the rest of their division, their schedule, I just didn't buy the Colts. And they're not going to make the playoffs now.
Yeah. And that's a very sharp bet. And I honestly should have when Daniel Jones got banged up and his style of play had to change, where he wasn't running anymore and he wasn't looking to go and get first downs and he wasn't quite as mobile in the pocket and all of that stuff. That's when I should have known. I mean, that's a good bet. Very sharp by you. Should have been on that. The other one that I like here, and again, it's just, we won't know this until next year, but I have Arvell Reese to be the number one overall pick out at 22-1, which is now down to about 12-1 in most of the markets out there. Now, here's the thing, Jeff. I understand that there is a chance the Raiders have the number one overall pick and they definitely need a quarterback and, you know, whatever, it is what it is. But there's also, when I made the bet, there was a bunch of different teams that could have gotten the number one pick that definitely did not need a quarterback and might just be enamored by this dude that you can line up as an edge. If you want to play him off ball, he can do that. I mean, he's one of the best college football players I've seen in a hot minute. And so, you know, sometimes I think that can maybe, get these teams all fired up and stuff. So threw it in there. We'll see how it all plays out and who ends up getting the number one pick when it's all said and done.
So if the Giants have the first pick, they have a bunch of defensive linemen. They can add Reuben Boehner, add Reese, who's a do-it-all linebacker. Like that's not a bad thought at all, depending on who ends up having that draft pick. So yeah, 14-1 on DK right now. And Mendoza's the favorite. And then Dante Moore is next. I think Dante Moore might stay in school. Then you have Reuben Boehner. Then you have, I took a Sellers like 30-1 in the preseason. That obviously is not going to get home, unfortunately, but taking a shot there for the first pick in the draft.
We still have one more game tomorrow. We'll talk the late game. I know, 13.5, 14 point spread. It's still a football game. You're still going to bet on it, so we're going to talk about it.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Primetime here on VSiN. Appreciate you guys being with us. Matt Brown and Jeff Schwartz here, Channel 158 over on SiriusXM, YouTube TV, VSiN Watch app, terrestrial stations across this great country of ours as we watch another field goal go in. So 31 first half points if you bet that over 51 that we said was out there in the market and followed along with the people over on VSiN.com. You're feeling pretty good right now. It's 31 points are up on the board and we've got, there's only 5 seconds left. So it's probably going to end with 51, with 31 points.
Well, the Cal's close enough to probably try a field goal. They're going to try to run one play, throw it quickly. They have one time. Oh, there's no timeouts left. Yeah, you're probably – this is just a Hail Mary, so we'll see if they can get this Hail Mary. I would imagine with no timeouts, throw it in the end zone somewhere. Obviously, it would be great for the over here to get home with a Hail Mary here. So we'll see, obviously, what happens. Final play the first half.
So, Jeff, you said you've played on bad teams before. And so here we go. I don't know if you've ever played on a team that maybe just got totally deflated. And I think that's a way that we could talk about this Kansas City team. You've made the playoffs for a million years in a row. You've got the best quarterback on the planet. You just expect to go out and win games every single time that you step on the field. That wasn't the case, even when Mahomes was in there this year for them, and then Mahomes goes down, obviously then Minshew goes down again and all of that out of the playoffs, and now they find themselves as 13 to 14 point dogs. It's gotten to 14 out here at Circa behind me. How hard is it? I know what is that you get a paycheck and like you don't want to look like crap on tape and all the stuff like that, but like how hard is it to get yourself up for a game like this where your season's in the dumps. It is completely the opposite of what you thought was going to happen. And now you go in as a massive underdog with your third string quarterback that nobody's ever heard of.
So I think for most guys on bad teams, you're bad a lot, you know, like you're just sort of maybe like, unfortunately, like used to being bad. Hawaii just let Cal's quarterback scramble for like 25 yards and run out of bounds in like field goal range. This defense was, I cannot believe they let them do this. So if you have the over, Cal gets a field goal attempt here to end the first half. So this is great news for you. A lot of times you've been bad for a while or you're out of it for a couple weeks. And by week 17, like you're just going to accept what you are. You're playing hard. You're playing for a contract for next year. You're a free agent. Your coach is being fired. There's always reasons to continue to play hard, right? The Chiefs have done this for 9 years in a row where the end goal was always the Super Bowl. And now the end goal is gone. And you struggled on offense before you lost Patrick Mahomes and Gardner Minshew. Mm-hmm. And you're your third quarterback or your fourth quarterback. You're down offensive linemen. You're down Rashee Rice was put in injured reserve today. On defense, you're down Trent McDuffie. Chris Jones is beat up. There's just not a lot of life left. We saw last week, Tennessee is not good. They couldn't score in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have a Broncos team off a bad loss, right? Trying to keep pace in the AFC West, trying to keep pace for the one seed. You're facing a wounded division rival. Like you are going to go, I think, and try to, you know, pound them in the ground even more, put dirt on their grave. That's already like you're going to re-dirt it. It's already been dirted. You're going to do it again, right? Like all these things are true because the Chiefs have won for so many years that even though they're not as good anymore. Like I picked the Titans last week to play, you know, cover three, but also just, that field goal was, that wind blew that one. That is no good. No chance there for Cal. So 21-10 still at the half. They're just dead. Like they're just dead right now. It's going to be a rough game. It would not surprise me if they were shut out tomorrow. It's going to be bad. I think their point total is like eight, like nine, 10. It would not surprise me. Their point total right now is, 10.5. So I just don't know how they're going to score. They scored 20 against the Cowboys and have not scored 28 combined points since. If this game 24-3, 24-6, I have 12 with the Broncos. I'm fine with my 12. I just don't think this is going to be a game where the Chiefs are into it. You know, Travis Kelce unders would be very appropriate in this game. He has no connection to these guys. We saw last week where it was really hard for him to get in sync with Gardner Minshew because, you know, him and Pat have a connection. he doesn't have with the other quarterbacks. His number right now is super low, 38 and a half. And when's the last time he's been 38 and a half?
Right.
He had one catch last week. Like, this is just it's a bad situation. And I expect there to be a result that I mean, how many people are going this game on Christmas? Like,
in the, right. In,
like, it's just
get announced they're moving out of town too, you know?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I have a strong belief that football should be played outside on grass. If you can do it in Buffalo, now you have turf in Buffalo, but you're outside, you can do it, you know, in Pittsburgh, in Philadelphia, in Green Bay, you could do it anywhere. And then I think owners should pay for their own stadiums. I mean, not even a hot take. Like, pay for your own stadium. You're worth billions of dollars. Why am I subsidizing your stadium? And this deal seems like it's completely one-sided for the Chiefs. So you got a one-sided deal to play in a dome stadium with turf, man. I'm out on that.
The Broncos, by the way, in the driver's seat here to be the number one seed in the AFC. It's fairly easy for them. They just got to win out. So they win against the Chiefs, which, again, they are 14-point favorites. And then it comes down to the Week 18 game against the Chargers, unless the Chargers lose this week, and then that could change the situation there. So, again, it is a pretty easy path here for the Broncos. Win and win again, and they're going to be the number one seed. And also, not only do you get the home games, but, yeah, you get the first week bye. So you get to sit back and watch everybody, and you get to plot your get everyone healthy and plot out who you're going to play next. So a big, big game for the Broncos, even though it is a 14-point spread. You have everything on the line here. So I don't expect a flat performance really at all. Like you said, this is going to be the in everybody's money line parlay, and I understand the NFL's been weird this year. I totally get it. A lot of these big underdogs, though, have won with their actual quarterbacks. You know, like a lot of, like, with their actual team. Like, this is the third string dude that no one's ever heard. I literally had to Google who this guy was last week. I mean, like, that's where we are.
With
the Chiefs. And so, like, I think it's not every giant underdog, every home underdog is created equal. And I think that kind of plays into the Chiefs here.
Like, okay, let's just say that Oladokun or Shane Butchel plays better than we think. They can't run the football to start with.
Right.
Can't do that.
All year. Had
trouble this season with deep passes. It's going to get better with Oladokun. Like,
right.
I just don't.
The offensive line's been a mess
all season. Right. They've been bad on special teams this season. Can't rush the passer. I mean, look, there's all these reasons why this is just not going to be a close game. And I've faded them weeks in a row. I faded them against the Chargers. I faded them against the Titans. And this is, I'm back to it. And I don't care if I'm a Chiefs fan, man. Like, this is just where they are right now in this season. I'll be ready to pounce on them potentially to win the division again next year, but not right now.
Houston's on the road at the Chargers. It is our first game on Saturday. Remember, Saturday football again this week. 1.5, 2 in favor of the Chargers at home. 39.5 is our total here in this one. Jeff, again, low total because you have the Houston defense coming to town. And I understand that the Chargers offense is definitely good because you have Herbert, who is basically puts on the cape each and every week. But this Houston defense is a lot different than most.
I love the under in this game. I know it's low. It doesn't bother me. So you have a Chargers offensive line that's missing two all-pro coming out. Somehow Joe Alt made the Pro Bowl playing 6 games this season, which is just remarkable. But, you know, they have 2 Pro Bowl tackles gone, and the rest of the offensive linemen aren't great either. Center might be the worst in the NFL against a Houston defensive front that we know terrorizes anyone they can, right? And Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson both are over 10 sacks. Like, it just feels like a bad matchup for them. The Chargers are going to try to slow the ball, right? They're going to try to slow things down, run the football, not allow Houston to have the ball. But look, Houston's offensive line is not great either. And the Chargers defense continues to feel like they're getting better. I know they're without one of their linebackers who got suspended for another targeting. They don't call targeting the NFL. I guess another helmet-to-helmet hit, which was a pretty dirty hit. But I just think that Houston's offensive line just isn't great either. Like, I think this is a game featuring, you know, bad offensive lines against good defenses. And that obviously will play to the owners. Why the number is so low, but I think it's appropriately low. I mean, this feels, you know, 2017, 17, 13, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I took Justin Herbert over 21.5 rushing yards because I think he's going to be running for his life back there. And honestly, he's actually pretty good at taking off. If you go look to these teams that have gotten pressure on them. He had 62 rush yards against Minnesota. Tennessee's defensive line, by the way, is good. He had 57 rush yards against them. Philadelphia's defensive line is good. He had 66 rush yards against them. Like, these teams that keep getting pressure, he just takes off and he runs all the time. So I really like the over 21.5 on Herbert rush yards there on that one. We'll continue to run through the NFL slate when we come back.